is Metro Talk with Jerry Phillips.
Let's get to our first Sunday roundtable, and the roundtable this morning is kind of shaky, mainly because, well, the one lady is not with us. She's under the weather, and I think you guys have something to do with this, but she's on the line, Dana Jones. Dana, are you there? Hello, Dana.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
These guys put you under the weather. They made you sick.
I tell you what, I'm sure they were real happy. They thought they were going to be able to say whatever they wanted today without some introduction of truth, and I had a call anyway.
I love you, Dana. Jim Pomeroy is here, Republican.
Thank you for having us.
And also Nicholas Sawalk.
Good morning.
Libertarian. And Dana, the Democrat's on the line. And also on the line we have who called in this morning. And we thank him very much, Mayor Anthony Williams of the District of Columbia. Good morning.
Enjoyed. I'll come back again sometime.
Please do. Next time we'll get you in studio.
All right, great.
And then you can fight all these guys back, you know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay, I look forward to it, okay.
It's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mayor Anthony Williams of the District of Columbia, who certainly called into the show so we could talk to him. And if, you know, any other candidates called in having to do with this particular topic, we'd be glad to talk with them, won't we, guys?
Absolutely.
Not necessarily
absolutely.
That we want to talk to them, but you know what I mean? Am I being biased? No.
Absolutely not. If Willie That's Wilson wants true. To call in, if the Reverend, although he would be probably busy now with services, but after the service, give us a call.
Well, we'll be off the air by then.
Right, well,
that's Jim Pomeroy. You would call now.
Right. Jim Pomeroy, that's a Republican for you. See that? Give us a call after you're off the air. Dana Jones is on the line. Dana's sick, but she said she would talk to us in pajamas because she's sick this morning. And Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian Party, who was out partying all last night, they're all here this morning in the first round, Sunday roundtable. Okay, gentlemen, you heard the congressman this morning, Congressman Bartlett, as he talked about military spending and if we are ready or not. What is your take on that? Do you think we should go into Iraq and are we ready?
I'm not sure how attacking Iraq preemptively is going to actually positively affect American national security. And it was really good to hear the congressman acknowledge that our policy towards Israel is an issue. No matter which side you fall on that issue, not a lot of people are honest enough to say that our foreign policy and who we aid and who we don't aid does affect the rest of national security.
Look, it seems to me if Saddam Hussein has chemical weapons, if he has potentially nuclear weapons, you have to go in there and take him out. If he doesn't, that's a different issue. But you know, Vice President Cheney has said that he has more than we believe and more than we know. And if that's the case, then I think it would be irresponsible of us.
But it seems like only Cheney is saying that.
Well, you know, I trust him. I got to say,
Mr. Cheney?
I do very much.
And you know, this is Dana. I have to speak up. This is a very serious issue, and we've seen it debated quite a bit in the news recently. The closer we get to the midterm elections, I might add, and I think that this is something that we shouldn't take. We shouldn't go into blindly. And it does concern me a little bit that so many other countries that would go into this being our allies are saying, no, America, step back and take a second. Let's look at this together. And the most important part of this is we cannot do this alone. We must have our friends and our allies by our side. And so these are the things I think that we need to get really in check, as well as what is the human loss and aside from the monetary expenses, we know that is something completely different. But human loss, and will our allies be with us? Because we don't want to try to do this alone.
Dan, we can certainly do it alone. The question is, you know, should we? But, I mean, we can certainly do it alone. And we you know, look at Afghanistan. We had allies in Afghanistan.
No,
but that was basically, we did have allies. But in the end, it was the Afghans on the ground. And it was us bombing from the air that did it. We could do the same thing in Iraq.
But
that was a military strategy called nation building as well.
That
we take part in. And we go in and we find the good guys.
Right.
And we say, this is how you build your own country.
But this administration was going to stop nation building, I thought.
Okay, talking about nations, let's go over to Virginia, a nation of its own. Jim is on the line. He's been waiting a long time. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead, Jim.
This is actually back to the mayoral race.
Sure, no problem.
I was a little curious the other day. I heard that the former mayor, Marion Barry, was not endorsing Tony Williams. And I heard that Tony Williams had sought his endorsement, but not his counsel. And that seemed to have upset the former mayor. And I would just be curious to hear what you think about, I wouldn't think that it would be a good thing to have Marion Barry support you. And do you think it's a liability or an asset to have someone of his notorious background as it relates to drugs in the past? Is it a bad thing to have him support you? I would think that anyone would be trying to distance themselves from him.
Okay, Dana, let's go to Dana first.
Well, I think that same very question was asked by many, and that same very thought had crossed many minds. And it's not just of the infamous drug situation that America saw on their nightly news, not just D.C., but it was also the budget problems that the mayor had while in office. And I think that being that Mayor Williams is an incumbent, he can run on his own record. He necessarily doesn't need an old mayor, one that some perceive as perhaps having a jaded past, if you will. He doesn't really need him coming out. Yes, he would like to have him, you know, say, this guy's a great guy, I too would support him. But by the same time, why seek his counsel? If you've already been in the job, you know how it works, and you can run on your own record.
I'm not sure if I was running for mayor, I'd want a Barry endorsement. It actually makes me feel a little better about Mayor Williams that he didn't seek Mayor Barry's counsel.
Well, he said he was disappointed, though.
I think he said he was disappointed that Mayor Barry came out.
That he supported Willie Wilson after he did some projects.
Yeah, enthusiasm saying, no, write this man's name in instead.
Right.
It wasn't just that he was standing aside saying, I'm not going to endorse you, but I'm going to stay out of it, but I'm coming vigorously out to try to get you out of office.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, if I were running for mayor in D.C., I'd want his endorsement. I mean, he has a lot of problems, but the man has a political organization.
Right.
And love him or hate him, he is very popular with a large segment of the voters in D.C., and he is going to be a strong influence on that campaign.
But see, I sense a bit of arrogance here. Marion Barry knows this. And if there are only two politicians in town, you guys can agree or disagree with me. Bill Clinton and Marion Barry. They're the best politicians in the world. I mean, only two in town.
I am perfectly willing to link those two together.
Jim hadn't brought up Bill Clinton all morning yet, Jerry, and you helped him.
You've just slammed him more than I ever have.
I'm sorry. I'm going to, listen, I'll play the devil's advocate here. I'll simply say that in my lifetime of watching presidents back to, anyway, I've only seen two guys in this town, not only presidents, but two politicians in this town. They really, besides Ronald Reagan.
Oh, there you go. Ronald
he wasn't
Reagan, Bill Clinton, okay.
The politician of rhetoric. But anyway, moving on.
If I could ask just one other thing, commenting on your military issue or the military things that have been brought up this morning. I'm an active duty member of the military, and I would like to hear you comment. I know I work at a military headquarters unit, and I from time to time have occasion to become involved in the placement of new military units. And oftentimes military commanders spend months and sometimes years deciding where we need a new military installation. And then we make those proposals, and then congressmen or senator will become involved and based on where they want to have it in relation to their military their congressional districts. They will fight very hard to not put it where the military wanted it, but where they would like to have it, where it would be the best asset to them politically.
Okay.
And I've seen that happen time and time again, and it sort of sometimes comes down to what would appear to most people to be extortion. Either you put this here, military branch, or won't vote for you on my appropriation.
Well, that was a perfect case in West Virginia, if you remember. It wasn't military, but it had to do with government agencies. Remember the big fight that Senator Byrd,
Right.
know, he played this game that, you know, you've got to get like, the FBI to West Virginia.
Is there something that's
that.
Not named after Senator Byrd in West Virginia?
I tell you what.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank
Go
you.
Senator Byrd is, being from Western Maryland myself and right on the border of West Virginia, he is speaking of heroes, speaking of politicians that will be elected time and time again and who they roll out the red carpet for. He is loved, and it's for a good reason, because his job is, he's also, you know, very active in the appropriations process. His job, as he sees it, is to bring home as much as he wants and to be the advocate of West
right.
Virginia. Sure enough, he is. And he brings plenty home. And to the callers, what the caller said, We have seen this. We see it whether it be for a federal agency or military, because these Congress people want to go home and say, "I'm proud of the military."
Quite frankly, with regard to the caller's comment, basically the caller is working for the security of the American people, and those congressmen are working for the economic security of their district. And I think that there's some conflict there. And frankly speaking, I think that as Americans, we should be disgusted by the fact that we're taking away from our security so that we can bring a little more tax dollars back to our home district.
Well, that's the reason why we're going to Iraq, let's face it. I mean, it has to do with oil.
I don't think that's given any more security either.
Right. It has a lot to do with oil, not necessarily Saddam Hussein's immoral actions, quote-unquote.
Oh, no, no.
Evilness, quote-unquote.
I disagree. I mean, Saddam Hussein is a bad man.
I hate to cut you off, but, well, we all know that.
I mean, I don't know if we know that. I'm not sure if we know that.
Well, George Bush uses the word evil. I believe
from the discussion here, though, we're saying, well, he's not so bad.
No, we haven't even
said
that.
Well, who else
has said that?
No, no one said that.
I don't like him either.
We simply said that Marion Barry had a bad record. We didn't say anything about Saddam Hussein.
No, you just said...
301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon wireless system. Folks, I got lines open, and this is what has to do with not only our votes, but our taxes and everything else. I'd like to hear from you about your opinions on the things we're talking about. 301-230-0980, pound 980 of Verizon wireless system. Get online now so we can talk with you. Now, Jim, you have the microphone.
Okay, let's get something straight here. Saddam Hussein is gassing people in his own country. He is vicious toward the Kurds. This is a man running a dictatorship, and he should go anyway. And if this man is harboring biological weapons, if he's harboring nuclear weapons, if he is barring UN inspectors from doing what they should be doing, these are legitimate reasons to go into that country.
But is it me, or aren't the Turks, one of our big allies, also attacking their own Kurds and oppressing them? And don't they also have weapons of mass destruction? But the real difference at the end of the day is the question of whether or not they're our friends or they're not our friends.
Well,
because the people who are our friends, we don't blow them up. We invite them to come along for the party. And the people who aren't our friends, we go make preemptive strikes.
I dare to say
welcome
that the
to
American
foreign
government
policy.
Does not endorse people, genocide on their own people of other countries. I mean, no one invites anybody to the party.
We don't endorse it, but we do accept it with China and Turkey.
No, and I'm going to actually, again, there's always one point in the show where I agree with our fellow Republicans, so people at home, take your seats. He is a horrible man.
Dana and I agree. Mark it on your calendars.
Wait, I agree, too.
Wait, no,
he's a bad guy.
He gasses his own people, but something else he left out, he starves his own people.
Right.
He has lavish palaces, not a palace, but palaces all over the place in which the people pay for, but yet they don't have enough money to pull some rice together for dinner. And yes, he is a horrible man, but we must look at this strategically. We must look at this with a patient eye and see exactly the best way to do this. We must have our allies by our side.
Saddam Hussein's a bad dude, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have to throw bombs.
Our first Sunday roundtable, as you normally hear, folks, if you join us each Sunday, we hope you do, because we need all the help we can get on this first Sunday roundtable. Jim Parmalee, Republican, along with Dana Jones, who's sick, but she called in anyway. Dana does not get, she's feisty. You know, we get email, we get letters about Dana Jones. Who is that? Anyway, I won't say some of the words that people write in about you, Dana.
You know you're doing good when you get email.
That's right. Well, you know, it's
definitely
like,
doing something.
Hey, look, you're doing good if you get a write-in nowadays. Dana Jones, the Democrat, and Nicholas Sawalk, the Libertarian Party. What happened to the Green Party? They checked out on us.
That's a big question. What did happen to the Green Party?
Not sure.
Ralph Nader and his bunch.
He was away this weekend, if we all remember.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
He was out of town.
Okay,
I do remember that.
Let's take a couple of calls, folks, because folks are on the line. We talked to Jim in Virginia. What about Pat in Alexandria? Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, darling. How are you?
Pretty good, my dear.
Well, I hate to say this, but I'm agreeing with Nicholas again.
That's three times
bad. You always agree with Nicholas.
No, I don't agree with Nicholas. The reason I'm agreeing with Nicholas is quite frankly, the what he has said about our foreign policy. Yes, the Turks have always gone after the Kurds. We still give them money. We got bases. They get cash. Yes, we have sat and turned a blind eye to everything that has gone on in the various areas. We're dealing with a man right now who, let's face it, psycho, you know, Hitler in a head cloth. But what we're dealing with is somebody who is now got Russia on his side. He's getting nuclear technology for power stations. You believe that? I've got oceanfront property in Arizona for you.
But you don't agree with Nick, because Nick doesn't think he's a problem.
No, Nick does think he's in problem. But what
he doesn't
Nick
want to do anything about it, though.
No, what Nick is doing and what Nick is saying is what a lot of us who have people in the military are saying is, look at this, take your pluses, take your minuses, make your list and do it. Frankly, I'll tell you this. I don't think we need to go in and finish Bush number one's war. The Arab nations around there who went in to liberate Kuwait have all said, we ain't going to back you up if you go in this time.
But do we really need Kuwait support this time?
I'm not talking about Kuwait. I'm talking about Jordan. I'm talking about
exactly
all of these countries around here.
Saudi
and let's face it. Let's be very honest about it. We're going to get as much support out of the French as we buy their fashion.
Exactly.
You know,
they're still trying to define themselves on the streets of Paris right now.
Oh, please. You know, we saved their butts twice in history, and they haven't given it to us. But what you have to look at here, folks, is the pluses and the minuses. And I got to tell you, I'm not too sure that taking this guy out is going to be a plus because you don't know what's to come in after him.
How many new terrorists are you minting is the other question.
That's exactly where I'm going with this, Nick. And again, you know, I don't always agree with everything you say on this particular issue. Yes, I am agreeing with you.
Okay,
and
Pat, thank you.
There's all also, right. I agree with a lot that Pat has said this morning. And there's also a lot of feeling, if we can't have Jordan on our side, who we have been friends with, for years and years and years, and we have been at each other's side. If they say to us, "Don't do this," you will have no one by your side. This is something we need to look at, and that's all I'm saying. And
okay,
as Jordan goes, so goes the nation. Is that what you're saying?
Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, pretty much every other ally in the Middle East,
except Israel.
It would be nice
to have their support. But the sole criteria for foreign policy in the United States should be: is it good for the United States, or is it not?
And how many new terrorists do you mint every time you blow up Iraq?
That is a good question, but it is important. We would like to have allies, but we have to decide if it is in our interest. We must do it regardless of whether we have allies.
This is the first Sunday Roundtable, along with Jim Pomeroy, Dana Jones, and Nicholas Sawalk. Dana's out sick, but she's on the line sick, and that doesn't mean her feistiness is stumped. She's still putting up a good fight. Our telephone number, 301-230-0980, #980, on the Verizon Wireless System. If you'd like to call in, we certainly encourage your calling in and joining us in our discussion. I'm Jerry Phillips from Clear Channel Radio in Washington with Metro Talk. While we go to our other phones, I just want to throw a name out for you guys to think about. I want a good answer on this. Colin Powell. Is he Secretary of State? And if so, what state is he in now? Because for the last 2 months, we haven't been able to hear from the guy, find the guy. And the Outlook section of the Washington Post has an interesting story about taking the back step or the back burner. Let's talk with Dorothy in Gaithersburg. Good morning, Dorothy.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I just wanted to add that we should have learned our lesson from the Vietnam War. I happen to be a middle-aged person. There was quite a bit of... the world had already had decided that that wasn't the place to go. The French had pulled out and everyone else, and we went in there like gangbusters, and once again we failed. And the same thing is going to be true for Iraq. We might be a superpower, but the entire world is saying that leave it alone for the moment, and I totally agree. And somebody needs to get out there and find out what the American people want, because it's one thing to go in there and clean up after George W. Bush number one, but it's another thing, and I think it's a personal issue now. Oil and all this stuff, we need to be looking at the home front. We need to be looking at prescription drugs for elders. We need to be looking at our own backyard, and someone has to think like that. If I had my way, I'd vote every incumbent out of Congress right now. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
If we left it up to the Europeans, there'd be a lot of dictators still in place. And I think Vietnam is a perfect example of that. We left there with a peace treaty. And when it was broken by the North Vietnamese, the world stood by and did nothing while millions died. And that is just wrong. And that is an example of why the United States must step up when it's important to the United States, when it's important to democracy and freedom around the world. And it would be nice to have the world with us. And normally we do. And I think we will. If we decide... that Iraq, that it is a problem that has to be fixed. If we step in, I think people will come in behind us. But the goal is we must do what's right.
This is Dana again. My father fought in Vietnam, and I think that's a very interesting topic that she brings up. Is that America still is very hurt by Vietnam? America still feels a lot of pain because we lost an unbelievable amount of boys over there. And I think in hindsight, maybe things should have gone a little differently. We should have helped those people. We should have been over there. But but there should have been some more thought into it, because the amount of life, the amount of boys that we lost over there is horrible.
All right, let's talk to, Anthony, and Alexander's been on the line a long time. Good morning, Anthony. Thanks for waiting.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
I think Jim has this laughing gas perspective on American history. Why does America get to amass weapons of mass destruction and other countries can't?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're good guys.
Come on
now.
The
only country in the history of mankind that used weapons of mass destruction in another country was the U.S. and Japan.
Oh, do not even get me started.
Who did you want to win World War II?
The second atomic bomb was totally on this. Totally.
You know what? That is a very safe thing for you to say.
Yeah, but Harry Truman.
Hold just 50 years later. If you were on a landing craft waiting to go into to invade Japan, you thank
Nagasaki
God for that second bomb.
Nagasaki was a total destruction. They didn't have to do that. And there are other. Let me ask you those questions.
Harry Truman was nervous at the fingers.
Yeah, I'm going to support Democrat Harry Truman. And coming from a Republican, when you bomb the Japanese with the most powerful weapon on Earth, and they still do not surrender, and they are still running kamikaze planes into your
plane. You have this laughing gas perspective. They were on the brink of surrendering. There are other bad regimes in the world.
Well, guess what? The second bomb made them surrender.
There are other bad regimes in the world, by the way. It's not just Iraq. So we're going to go after every single bad regime in the world?
Gentlemen,
we can all sing together. Thank you very much, Anthony, for your call. But the question is, and he has a very legitimate question, if other people have weapons of mass destruction, why are they always the bad people?
If they have weapons,
there are a lot of countries that
have weapons of mass destruction and they are not friends of our
then they're bad
ours,
people.
They're bad people. It's pretty simple.
Jim has summed up Republican foreign policy.
I would say that most 95% of Americans, I would hope, agree with me on that. If you have weapons of mass destruction and they're aimed at the United States, that by definition makes you an outlaw country.
Well, let's go.
Aimed at the United States. Iraq doesn't have anything that can get to the United States, my friend.
All right. Telephone number 301.
It's called a guy with a fake passport.
I'll telephone number 301-230-0980, #980.
The last nine Rod's, people like that were.
On the Rod's cake, like us. Let's play the game right. Okay, in this morning's Washington Post, an interesting commentary. The left and right have the secretary all wrong. I'm quoting from the Washington Post this morning. Over the past few months, as the Bush administration has begun to contemplate military intervention in Iraq, one question has quietly recirculated in the overheated Washington summer air. Why doesn't Secretary of State Colin Powell quit? And it goes on to say about Colin Powell's his stance on this whole thing. On Iraq, Powell's position appears to fall short of what liberals believe. His supporters maintain that the ongoing debates within the administration are not over the need for military action to replace Saddam Hussein, on which all sides are in agreement. But how and when to intervene is the question. And this is where Colin Powell is running into trouble. Your comments, Jim Pomeroy.
Look, if I don't know if he has disagreements with the president or not, and that is between him and the president, but he is supporting the president's policy in the end. The president has a lot of advisors. He takes those into account, and he comes up with the policy of the United States. And I support our president, and I think most Americans do.
What about Colin Powell? Do you support Colin Powell? He's a military man, and well, highly, highly, really, you know, respected during the elections, coming on in, even considered maybe as vice president, but ends up as secretary of state because of his knowledge, and he could go and work these smooth over things with other countries. What happened to him?
You know, I support Colin Powell, and I... Yeah, he supports the president, so we're all in agreement.
Dana?
Well, I think this is a very interesting... I mean, America really seems to like Colin Powell very much, and it's because he is a man who served, and he served this country very well. And I would hope that the president has put people around him that aren't yes men, but instead say, no, let's look at this from a different angle. And I would respect Colin Powell more should he disagree or think tactically a different way than the president, he bring that up. Because guess what? That's his job. That's what he is paid to do. It's not just to say yes, but it is to advise the president on the best course of action as he sees fit with the other members of the cabinet. So I think this question has been raised several times throughout the administration, exactly where is Colin Powell, what is he doing, and how does the president and the vice president see his role.
Nicholas, so
what Colin Powell is doing, and I'm thankful for it every day, is applying a sanity check to an administration that would have us go in and make preemptive strikes against another country, something that America is not known for doing for a good reason. And I think the reason he's staying out of the spotlight is he's behind the scenes making sure that American foreign policy stays sane, as the Secretary of State should do.
Okay.
And I think that he's not going to publicly disagree with the president.
Let's go into the good country of Calvert County, and Wayne is on the line. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. I hate to sound Tom Clancy-ish, but if the president is thinking about making preemptive strikes, he obviously has some information that you, I, the average American will never know, hear, or see about. And I hate to say this, but we almost have to trust the president and the policy that he's going to use. Do you agree with that?
I think it's clear that if the president of the United States commits this country to a war against Iraq, he will do so on the best information possible.
And I think he better share that information with the Congress, because last I checked, our Constitution required congressional approval for a war.
Well, that's
special. Do you think that information will be shared with the American people? I mean, obviously, like I said, he's basing he has information that we don't know about, and quite frankly, we probably shouldn't know
Wayne, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but
yes,
we talked with Congressman Roscoe Bartlett of Maryland.
No, I was not.
Who is a Republican, and he says that the one problem he's having is the fact that he feels that the president should come before Congress and the American public, be more specific, and really, as in his words, quote-unquote, sell his case.
I agree with that.
So, there you go. That's an answer to that. Thank you very much, Wayne. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good day. Calvert County, I love Calvert County. Let's go to Sterling, Virginia, and Robin. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good to be on again.
Thanks very much.
Listen, I just have a comment about, you know, these America haters out there, like the previous caller, you know, saying these other countries have just as much of a right, you know, to possess these weapons of mass destruction as we do. The fact is that we have the best political, economic system in the world, and we have used the power that has provided in an extremely responsible way, whereas others haven't. Now, have we had made mistakes along the way? Of course. We're a country run by human beings. But let's look back at the countries who have held supremacy in one way or another, you know, throughout history. France comes to mind under Napoleon, Germany, obviously, Russia, Britain, you know, colonialism, empire, Italy, Japan, China in its current form. You know, who out there is better entrusted than us, you know, to lead people where we believe that the value should be, that is, you know, freedom for everyone, women's rights, you know, these kinds of things. That's what we stand for, and that's why we have a more inherent right to, you know, say to other people, we believe that this is the way it should be.
And that's what
excuse
makes
me, Jim,
one.
I have a question for you, because
sure.
What you're saying
it's
sounds
Robin,
dangerously
right,
like, huh? Oh, sorry, Robin. I'm thinking of Jim for some reason. What you're saying sounds dangerously like the right of kings. I mean, what is it that makes it America-hating to say that other countries have the right to pursue their own destiny as we have pursued our own destiny? We were a country founded out of revolution. We were a country that was created out of the bounds of empire. And had Britain crushed us effectively, we would not be here. So tell me, Jim, why is that America-hating?
Robert. R-O-B-E-R-T.
Do you know why you're confusing the names? Because
he's saying the same thing
saying this, hey, God bless him and God bless America.
Robert, you have the airways.
Yeah, I'll tell you what gives us the right. What gives us the right is our value system and the way that we have used our power. Like I said, yes, of course we've made mistakes. We are just people, just like everybody else. But at our core, we're not going to conquer anyone and enslave them like, you know, France would have, like Russia would have, like Germany. Germany did, you know, like all these countries who had supremacy like we do, they abused their power and they forfeit the right. I don't think that we have abused the power, and therefore I don't think we forfeited that right.
Thank you very much, Robert. Appreciate
Thank
your call.
You.
Let's go to Diane. Diane's in Olney, Maryland. Good morning, Diane.
Hi. I just have a comment about our Secretary of State. When he came into office, he said that he would be conservative as far as wanting to go to war and would not want to go to war willingly unless it was absolutely necessary. I think he still kind of is thinking that, and like you say, he's in the background. My issue is, and you bring Vietnam in, we were not successful there because we didn't maybe have a Harry Truman. the war, we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to hurt people because that's not our policies. But if we go into this war, we have to go in with the idea we're going to win it and not be conservative. And I don't think Powell's ready to do that.
But, Diane, let me ask you a question. What about territory? When you talk about Vietnam, it wasn't as easy as fighting in the European conflict theater. Vietnam was very, very strange to us. The same as in Korea. Remember Korea, how many of our soldiers, even that, it was almost like Napoleon marching into Russia. You know, the elements brought about, what, frostbite, all of those kinds of things.
It was horrible, yeah.
So when you talk about going into the, and even Iraq, when you talk about going into dust storms and stuff like that, it's a little more than just waving the American flag. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I would. I mean, I understand it could potentially be very difficult. But the question is it the right thing to do or is it not? And if it's the right thing to do, then we must do it regardless.
Well, John's going to tell us in Bethesda. Good morning, John.
Hello. My question, my comment doesn't actually relate to this war debate.
Okay, go ahead. What's your question?
Earlier you were talking about the lack of a Green Party representative.
Mm-hmm.
And you...
We were just really just kidding. We do have a representative from the Green Party.
And you referred to them, who wasn't here today, and you referred to them as Ralph Nader and his bunch or that bunch.
Mm.
And that the manner seemed like a disrespectful reference. Nader was nominated as a candidate once, but would you if there was a Republican not there, would you say Parmalee and his bunch?
Yep.
Yeah, you should have heard when Michael Steele wasn't here.
I'd be honored.
And he's wearing a Redskin cap, too. So I can say that. Spurrier and his bunch. Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate you and your concern and certainly welcome it. Telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980, the Verizon Wireless System. That's our 9. You can call in as we talk with our first Sunday roundtable, Jim Parmalee, Republican, Dana Jones, Democrat, and Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian. Why are you all so silent? Because you don't afraid to say bunch anymore?
We don't want to offend the Green Party. I think we're concerned.
Gentlemen,
call anyone else Jim.
As we continue in our discussion here on the various issues of the day, let's take a last five minutes, and turn to the elections. I've lost my place. Help me out, Jim. But anyway, let's turn to the elections because
let's do that.
Yeah, because this is really, really getting down to the hilt here. The fight on the gubernatorial side, all this money spent now by Robert Ehrlich, the Republican candidate, gubernatorial candidate, he says he wants to check out the southern part of Maryland. He wants to make sure his name is getting out there. And a late poll showed that this race in Maryland is tighter than expected in the beginning, much tighter.
I think he's got a real shot at winning here, and I think it would be wonderful for the state of Maryland if he could pull this off.
Okay.
This is Dana, and yes, I think we all knew that this race was going to be very close. I think that we all knew that how hard Mr. Ehrlich was going to get out there and try to portray his record. And I think in the end that Marylanders are pretty happy with their lives. Pretty happy with the way things are being run.
Well, now, I don't know. Donald Schaefer, Dana, came out this week with the funniest endorsement I've ever seen anybody give. I mean, here he sits up there and he says, yeah, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend should, I support her to on her ticket. But on the other hand, your boss, Governor Glenn Denning, has left us in a terrible deficit.
And you know what? Many people, and it's a shame that
and he said 2 weeks ago that he would not.
Let me explain that, Jerry. Comptroller Schaefer, past Governor Schaefer, is one of the most unpredictable people that I have ever seen. And I worked in a state house and was very active in Maryland politics. We would see Governor Schaefer come out and say many things that no one expected, and half the time we wondered if it was just to get a rise out of people. This is a man that, on the way to Democratic fundraisers in a presidential year, the whole way would be seen on the side of the road putting up Bush signs, but then and then getting out and saying, yeah, I support the Democratic ticket. I mean, we really don't know exactly what we're going to hear.
But he's pretty consistent here, though.
From that wonderful man. And
but he ran our state.
He ran our state. He controls the money, Dana.
Yes, and that no one, I didn't say that he didn't control the money. I'm telling you, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Although he did talk about the outhouses of Eastern Shore, we won't go there.
Yeah, I mean, he says some really nasty things sometimes that you just don't expect.
It's good to note that Spear Lancaster is going to be on the ballot in November. He was certified by the Board of Elections, and he's actually from Southern Maryland. So
is he a Green Party or Libertarian?
Libertarian.
Oh, Libertarian.
Yes, running for governor.
Let me ask you another question. We have a caller on the line, Charles in Lonago. Good morning, Charles.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine.
All right. On that governor race that you're saying, that's very interesting to me. And I don't think Kathleen Kennedy Towson is going to win that race, by the way.
Why?
I feel as though she's very much untested, and they are really attacking her on the in the Metro pages these days.
Yeah.
Erlach is coming on strong. He wants to put up slot machines. He wants to raise money. That's important to people. I haven't seen that from Ms. Towson.
Okay. So you're supporting Erlach?
Yes.
Are you a Democrat or Republican?
But I'm a Democrat. But
that's interesting. I asked that question. They're very interesting.
A lot of Democrats are supporting him, and I think that's why he's going to win.
Thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate your call. One race. We got 2 minutes, guys. Good. Very quickly get into this. Mark Shaver. What's his name? Shriver.
Shriver.
I don't know. Well,
not Jim.
He looks like a Shriver. But anyway, Mark Shriver.
Isn't it Mark Kennedy?
Mark Kennedy, yeah. Hey, that image is not working too well, is it, huh? It looks like it's TV commercials, they say. Glan.
Well, we'll see on primary day, but how many Kennedys can Maryland stand?
I don't know. Well, it looks like both of them are losing.
I tell you what, it's amazing. It's amazing the groundswell of Kennedy hatred and beware of the Kennedy.
I don't think that's it.
I think we talked about that last month. Well, Kennedy name is baggage.
Let me just say something.
Yeah, but the average. And let's look at
how many states do they need?
Look at most of the voters today that are say 35 years old and younger. They could care less about the Kennedy name. They
I would disagree with you, number one. And number two, let me just also say this. Last night I watched the News Channel 8 debate between the Maryland 8th Congressional Democrats. It was a debate. And
yeah,
I have to tell you, Mark Shriver was poised. He looked wonderful. He hit all of the important topics. And I really think that he's our strongest chance. For a head-to-head matchup.
He will not.
He cleans up
really. Will he beat Connie Morella, yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Connie Morella is going to win and continue to represent her.
And in addition to that, let's say that we did the same debate, and Mark Shriver didn't show up to our debate like he's not showed up to a lot of debates in the 8th District.
That's
Thank you very much.
Kennedy
nice
trait.
Talking to you, Dana. Have a good day. Well, Dana Jones, Democrat. She's sick, but she didn't get the last word this time. Jim Pomeroy?
Quite the trooper.
All right. Hey, guys, we had a lot of good discussion this morning. Thanks very much for being
with us. Thank you for having us, Jerry. Right.
Nicholas Sawalk of the Libertarian Party, Dana Jones, Democrat, Jim Pomeroy.